The 37th annual Valley Visual Arts Show opened 2 weeks ago and will hang until February 17th. The Valley Visual Arts Show features 50 Roaring Fork Valley artists and includes two- and three-dimensional work in a wide variety of media. And one of those artists is with us now, Chris Hassig. Chris Hassig is an artist, printmaker, and writer who grew up in Carbondale. He creates, among other projects, detailed semi-abstracted drawings of grass that accrete to form simple geometries, layered meditations on strata and horizon, and fictional maps of an invented country. And the piece Chris has in the Valley Visual Show is called Hakatai, which is an ink, charcoal, graphite, and watercolor on paper piece. Chris, welcome.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, how are you?
Good. I took a look at your piece this afternoon over at the launch pad, and you were right. It's a lot of strata, and you and it looks different from far away than it does up close, which I gather is sort of a signature property of your work.
I guess so, yeah. It comes from working really closely, so usually when I'm creating it, I'm experiencing it up close, and then sort of getting away from it is the surprise for me, oftentimes, in the process, I'll be stepping back and forth. So
also, you're not constantly stepping. Are you working on an easel?
No, it's on a desk.
On a desk. So yeah. You're not stepping back and.
Well, I am occasionally, but uh-huh. But just yeah, I don't know. You can't necessarily control what it's going to end up being.
Well, I can attest to the grass pieces being marvels of complexity when you look at it up close. Chris, your website, chrishassig.com, that's HASSIG.com, and you have a lot of your grass pieces up there. Do you remember the first time you did a grass piece? Were you out there in the front yard on your hands and knees looking at the grass?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I was in college, actually, and I was doing... I think I was doing some more studio-based work in a specific class, and I went outside to kind of take my mind off of that, and I just did this tiny postcard-sized piece. And then that sort of kicked around my drawer for a while, and then I think I made a year or two later, I made a little bit bigger one, and then at a certain point, I decided it was kind of intriguing to me. So yeah, that's kind of where I... got going.
Interesting. The piece that's hanging is not a grass piece over there at the launch pad, but it's very intricate, just as intricate in its own way. How long did it take you to make that piece that's hanging there? How much time do you have invested in these things?
It kind of depends. You know, that one actually happened fairly rapidly because I did a number of earlier drawings this summer where I was sort of working out the process of making it. And that one happened, I think, within a week, basically, because I kind of knew what I wanted to do and had a pretty good direction. What takes a lot of time is trying to figure out what you're doing or wrestling with new media or new subject matter and trying to figure out how that works well for you.
So are you one of those artists that goes through many drafts of a piece before you get to the one that you like?
I would say I work in series, so I will do many drafts of a sort of a piece, but each one hopefully has... I spend a lot of time on them, so I hope that they are... Usually there's, yeah, a failure or two at the beginning, but then I figure out sort of what works for me and... then I can usually pull it off every time, but each one is obviously has a new layer or a layer removed or something is different about it that's makes it unique. So
what is it about layers that attracts you?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it has something to do with there's obviously an element of time involved in my work. And so maybe that's kind of a, rehashing of that thought or something like that. And the layering for the strata ones, it was just a way of sort of organizing the drawing in a way that by working within sort of a little bit of a stricter, like a framework that would kind of control it. It sort of allowed me to sort of organize what otherwise would be just sort of unbelievable cacophony. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing about complexity, isn't it? I mean, you get up close with it and you kind of get overwhelmed by it, but then when you're kind of far away from it, you can kind of make sense. But then it's kind of irresistible, isn't it, to kind of dig in and dive in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that sort of tension is what I'm looking for a lot of times.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Huh. And do you think, what have you discovered in that process of in and out and around and through? And, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, these strata ones are really fun for me because I am still, with the grass drawings, I was dealing with much more of sort of a literal subject matter and sort of trying to capture a specific visual symbol or something like that in each part of the drawing that I was drawing. Whereas with these strata ones, it's much more abstract. And so it's a lot more of kind of, it's a little bit more mystical or something of kind of going through the process and seeing what happens. That one's actually sort of one of the flatter drawings of this series, but a lot of them sort of end up evoking horizon lines or sort of weather patterns or strata, or they're all these sort of things that come out of them that are sort of just, you know, your associations from your mind, but it's fundamentally abstract, so it's kind of I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm not sure if that.
I think that makes sense. You know, one of the things when you're talking about strata that I think of in the natural environment, anyway, are clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the strata that I saw on the one that's hanging at the launch pad and also on your website are very reminiscent of clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Are clouds a subject matter that attracts your artistic eye?
I'm not sure. I'm pretty agnostic as to specific subject matter. The grass I sort of stumbled into, and I can sort of, in retrospect, rationalize maybe what I like about them. But I like nature in general. I think it's impossible to live in the Western Colorado and not be sort of constantly inspired by nature, even though I'm taking it to a much more fairly studio bound, unnatural. It's not obviously pictures of Mount Soapress or Red Hill or something like that, but hopefully maybe capturing something of that same spirit, or I don't know.
Well, I think it does, because there's one of the things that occurred to me as I was looking through your website was as above, so below. You know, and that is to say that as above is the long view.
Uh-huh.
So from the long view, it looks simple.
Uh-huh.
And then you dive in,
uh-huh,
and you discover more complexity, and then you dive in a little further, uh-huh, and there's more and more, and it just keeps going. It's like Alice in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a certain fractal quality to some degree in some of my work, or I wouldn't say it's not fractal in the sort of cliched way that people would associate that with, in terms of artwork that's like that. But definitely the kind of, yeah, I don't know, the sort of similarities of distance and closeness that you can sort of find with similar patterns at different levels. I don't know. And sort of the maps are kind of, you know.
Well, let's talk about the maps. You've been working on a map project since your teenage years.
Yeah.
And are you still working on that? And maybe you could describe to our listeners what that is.
I've been, it kind of goes on in the background, I would say, at this point. I worked on it a fair amount as a sort of like a secret nerd hobby all through high school and college and stuff like that. And, it was just something that I really loved doing. And, but it ended up giving rise to my art because I became very facile with pencil and drawing, because I was drawing so much all the time, I sort of developed a weirdly specific style of drawing that's super complicated and technical and kind of architectural, that's based on this vocabulary of maps and whatnot. And so, yeah. That's sort of a slow boiling pot that's off to the side that I kind of keep working on. And I had a major, I went to Europe last year and had a major sort of fun time writing on the trains in Italy. and so I started writing about the capital city of this fictional country that I had invented, and which I have a lot of information stored in my head about it, but it's sort of mundane Wikipedia style information. And so this was like trying to figure out a way to be a little bit more narrative about it and give people a way to narratively enter into the map in a way that was more opened up and welcoming, and kind of allowed people to have empathy for the map or something.
Is it allegorical at all? Is it sort of like a map into Chris Hassig's mind?
I mean, it's got to be, because it's, you know,
is it?
That's unavoidable, I think.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that was my intention. It was just, it was originally, and it still continues to be, kind of fairly unimaginative in a funny way, of a very, very sort of strictly adhering to the laws of physics and sort of human behavior, and but then there are little flights of utopianism.
It's not dystopia, but
it's
utopia.
Not dystopian.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's slightly utopian, but not in that clean sort of fascist way.
Oh, okay. So there's a little political slant that I hadn't considered. But that kind of makes sense.
I would say it's utopian in the sort of embracing a messiness of that. Maybe that is utopia. Very sort of multicultural or something. So I don't know.
Well, one of the things that struck me about Strata pieces that you're doing now, is that still your current theme, more or less?
Yeah, that's what I've been working on. What I'm working on right now is trying to figure out how to do them on gessoed panel as opposed to on paper. And that's tricky because the watercolor and charcoal don't work very well, or they act in very odd ways on the panel. But the panel allows you to sand things off or cut through it with a stylus, and you can create this really cool palimpsestic kind of give and take with the painting in a way that the paper just can't hold up against that kind of abuse.
Interesting. Well, I was going to say that I'm seeing color now.
Yeah.
So you're starting to bring color into the...
Yeah, the colors get more vibrant on the panel too, so which is kind of interesting. So,
Do you see yourself working in oils at some point, or are you happy with watercolor, at least for now?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So you don't. It doesn't sound like you've pre-planned your artistic and unfolding.
No, it's kind of like you take one step. I think everybody's this way. You take one step and then you say, oh, and something unexpected happens. And, you know, whenever I try to really rigidly plan something out, it's usually disappointing. But if you sort of leave yourself open to trying all these different pathways and then seeing what speaks to you, then take that next step down that and another branch opens.
Nice.
Can be kind of overwhelming at times to think about all of the different possibilities that you'll never have time to do. But
well, I guess that's
gotta choose something.
That's partly where the art is yeah. Discovering your possibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the art isn't even taking place on what you're working at. It's in your head, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. What are your creative processes? Do you work every day on your art? And if so, how long?
I haven't been doing much this last month. I've been skiing like a madman.
Well, that's understandable.
Everybody should be out there. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say this has been one of my least productive months probably in a long time. I tend to work in very intense sort of modes of sort of, I try to work, I start feeling antsy and weird and uninspired or something, or sort of lethargic if I'm not, working on something, you know, if I'm letting everything just lie around for too long, it starts making me crazy. So I do work on a pretty regular basis, but I would say I work in pretty intense sort of blocks of time where I'll just spend the entire day on something or, you know, just spend a whole stretch of time working really meditatively on a pattern or something like that.
Huh. So, yeah. With the pieces you're working on now, you know, inevitably an artist has to solve problems, whether they're technical or, I don't know, psychological maybe.
Yeah.
But what kind of problems are you solving? What kind of problems are you finding in this current process that you're in, and how are you solving those?
Interesting. Yeah, let me think. I guess I'm trying to, I think it is, a lot of it is about that finding that balance between chaos and over controlling is kind of, I feel like I'm oftentimes tiptoeing that line of trying to let this sort of like looseness into the work and that kind of thing. But also, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's very much a visual question of personal visual taste and what appeals to me. And so a lot of times it's sort of, you have to jump into a blank piece of paper and draw something. And then that can be sometimes the hardest part, because then you respond to that and you sort of, then your eye can sort of start critiquing what you're doing. And then it's kind of a give and take with the composition and your idea of what the composition should be. And so that's kind of my process right now.
Interesting. Do you have a studio space separate from your living space here in town?
No, I have a single room studio living space. Uh-huh. That's pretty marginal, but it's good. Yeah, if I couldn't do oil paintings for sure at this point, because I would kill myself with poisonous gases or something. But but drawing is pretty clean, so I can do that.
Huh. Well, I know a couple years ago you had a confluence of shows. You had one happening in Aspen.
Uh-huh.
Your gallery, Nugget Gallery, is that where you're represented?
Well, Nugget Gallery is kind of defunct at this point. It's okay. Now the Gonzo Gallery took over that space. And so, yeah, I'm currently galleryless. But that's one of my projects for the spring, is hopefully
find a gallery,
go down to Denver or find a gallery here.
Well, I see you had a show in Denver recently.
Yeah, I did. It was a fun pop-up show I did in a space on Santa Fe Drive. And it was great just because it's kind of like first ride here, where there's just a lot of foot traffic and it's fun to talk to people, and sold some stuff. So it was good.
And you've done some residencies. You did one at Anderson Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. That was really printmaking focused, and I worked on the map a fair amount in that thing. But that was kind of cool because I'm pretty coming out of the wilderness a little bit and out of left field into this art scene, in terms of not having gone to art school and not having the formal kind of steps that you take to get to being an artist, but I got to hang out for 10 weeks with all of these people who are really well versed in that or are coming from different ages or countries or disciplines. And so that was just the melting pot at there was just totally fantastic. And we had such a fun time together.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear. Well, I know Anderson Ranch is formative for a lot of artists.
Yeah, it's really it's a special place. It's got such great vibes, and the community and the focus on the art making, that sort of twin twin purpose there is, it was really good, cool.
So is that constituting your art your formal art education? Are you self-taught pretty much?
Yeah, I would say mostly, but except I also did this, I guess you call it a residency. It was kind of an apprenticeship in Boston, outside of Boston, with some family friends who are printmakers. And so that was sort of where I learned the copper plate etching techniques and stuff like that. And also took care of a man who was an oil painter and helped his wife, who was also an oil painter. So I learned a fair amount about that whole discipline and did some painting with them with models and stuff coming in every day. So that was pretty interesting.
Huh. Well, this show that's hanging over at the launch pad right now, the Valley Visual Art Show, is this your first Valley Visual, or have you been in others?
I think I was I won the People's Choice in 2011 or something.
Oh, nice.
That was the only one I managed to get my act together for. yeah, I think that was 2011. I had two pieces in that one, I think. But yeah, it's good to be back in it, and it's such a great community, and yeah, it's so fun to be just sort of involved at the launch pad and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. One of the centers for art making in this town.
Kind of like Katie and Kay. Yeah,
yeah, no doubt about it. Well, the best of luck to you in your gallery search. That's a big deal. That's a big step.
Yeah, I gotta get on that, so.
Go skiing first. Gone yeah, skiing.
Luckily, we have a dry spell coming in, so hopefully get some work done.
You can put a little thing on the easel and paint gone skiing. Oh, I created some art today. No problem.
Yeah, some good tracks down at the dumps or something.
Well, that's artistic. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris Hasig, thanks for coming in and talking about your art with us.
Yeah, thanks, Luke.